Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today is day one of the 12 days of podcasting on Mel's Podtastic Life. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you are enjoying this festive season. I know I am. I am so looking forward to Christmas this year. It's going to be exciting, and it's already great. You can feel it, can't you? Like, it, just the festivities, the decorations, all that Christmas music, smelling some good cooking, and just some great, great times this year. I really wish the best for everyone this year. Well, today, as promised, I am bringing you day one of the 12 days of podcasting. And today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be making an origami box. Now, these are small boxes meant for tiny gifts or tiny little hidden, you know, love messages or whatever, just tiny little boxes. And you can make a lid. I won't be making the lid today, but I'll tell you how you can. And I'm going to be linking to the blog that had these instructions that I used to make my box. So you will not be left behind. You definitely want to make a lid for these boxes because they're so cute. So if you'd like to join me, and if you have some square origami paper, you can use square of any size. I would recommend a 10-inch square just because it's a larger piece of paper for you to practice with. But if you feel confident, I have done them with the 6-inch squares, you can. I find 6-inch paper, some of the origami paper that I have is a lot thinner. So than the 10-inch square. So I find it's a bit more pliable, but it is a lot smaller. So And the small 6-inch square boxes, or the small 6-inch square paper creates these very tiny boxes. Like, you can't fit a credit card or a gift card in them. But, you know, if you're giving people gift cards for Christmas, these origami boxes are perfect. The recorded file that I have is going to give you all the instructions that you need. But before we get started with that, I want to bring to everyone's attention the idea that I have. I came up with it today, and it's pretty much building off of an idea that I had when I used to do internet radio broadcasting. I would have my listeners record Christmas messages and submit them, and I would play them over the air. And I kind of want to do a certain, similar to that here on this podcast. So I'm going to be doing a Christmas collage. It's a voice collage. And what it is I'm just going to have a bunch of these Christmas messages from a bunch of people. I'm not going to tell you who's recording the message. They're going to introduce themselves to you, and you're going to listen to all these voices ringing in the season, wishing you a Merry Christmas, talking about one of their traditions and all that sort of thing. But in order to create this vocal collage, I need participants. I need faithful subjects. Anyway, if you feel like recording a 1 to 2 minute message, I would like to make them minimum 1 minute, maximum 2, because that gives you time to share what this holiday season means to you. So in the message that you record for me, I'd like 3 things. Your name and a brief introduction of who you are, so other people who listen can get a feel of, you know, who you are. If you want to say, like, where you're from, if you have a hobby or a cool fact about you that people might find interesting. So a very brief introduction. This should take no more than maybe 20 to 30 seconds, you know. So that's just the first part of your file. You can make it as short as long as you want. The second thing that I want you to talk about in your Christmas message is, what is your number one favorite all-time tradition? And it's a tradition that you've held since childhood and you still observe to this day. So what is your most time-honored, time-treasured, favoritist? I know favoritist is not a word. All my English instructors are probably looking down at me like, no, but what is your most favorite tradition that you still observe, and that means, you know, and why does it mean so much to you? And the final thing is, I want you to tell me a gift that you received that is so precious to you, your most precious gift that you received that wasn't wrapped. So think about that. Your most precious gift that you received on any Christmas, it could be, you know, it could even be this Christmas, even though it's not quite here yet. Maybe somebody gave you a gift early. It doesn't matter. It's a gift that you received that wasn't wrapped. And that has a lot of deeper thinking involved. So think about that. So those are my three things: a brief introduction, a favorite tradition that you still observe, and your most precious gift that you've received that was not wrapped. And then, of course, you're going to end your message with your final farewells and wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. And that's pretty much the way the messages are going to go. So about a 2-minute long message, I would say, as the max. If it does go over a little, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, you know, and you don't have to be the best in audio editing. Just as long as you have a decent way to record, a quiet background, free of any, you know, loud noises or anything, so nice and peaceful. And then I'm going to be adding this voice, you know, your message to the many other voices, whoever participates. And then there's just going to be some music in the background, and everyone's going to listen to all these wonderful voices wishing them a Merry Christmas. And I'm doing this for two reasons. One, I think there is no time like the present when we should band together and, you know, start thinking about the most important things. We've got a lot going on. We've got a pandemic. We've got a challenging economical situation, and there's a lot that people are dealing with. But, you know, there's no reason why we can't just take a few moments to wish others a Merry Christmas and enjoy the real, you know, festivities of the season that has nothing to do with, you know, blowing hundreds and hundreds of dollars in a shopping mall just to buy everybody a Christmas gift that you want. You can take the time to wish people, you know, Merry Christmas, and you don't even have to get off your couch. So I think that's the greatest thing about it. I think, if anything, we have survived despite the odds, and we should appreciate that, and we should celebrate it with others. And the second reason is for those that are spending Christmas alone or who are going through hard times, sometimes it's good to just send comforting voices, like gentle waves, you know, over to them to help them get through it. And that's, you know, my goal for this recording, this vocal collage, is to get people to come together, but to get, you know, get people to also listen. I want people to listen, and I want people to be comforted by these messages. So that's something that I would like to do. And I'd like to post these messages on Christmas Day. So I'm making the deadline Christmas Eve in the morning. Please get your messages to me before noon. So try to get them in before Christmas Eve morning, before noon. That is my deadline, because then I want to spend the rest of Christmas Eve getting all these messages edited, getting the vocal collage ready. And then on Christmas morning, I'm basically just going to create an intro and outro for the podcast episode and let the collage just lead us on the way. And I think that's going to be a great, great recording with a bunch of fabulous voices. So if you would like to contribute, there are two ways you can do it. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at morning_song. And you can find ways of sending me messages through Twitter. You can also email me at morningsong24@gmail.com. Again, that's morningsong, morningsong, 24@gmail.com. And those messages need to be to me no later than Christmas Eve noon. Alrighty. So think about what you want to say. Take a few days to think about it, record it, get it to me, and we'll get this collage created. I'm hoping to get at least 10 people. I would love to have more, but I know realistically people are busy. There's a lot going on. My hope, though, is to get at least 10. So if you want to record a Christmas message for the voice collage, please get in touch with me and remember the three things for your message. So with that said, let's get on to the podcast and let's teach you how to make an origami box. Hey everyone, this is Melissa Rowe, and welcome to my office podcast studio. It's a little bit of everything here. But in all reality, it's just a bedroom. So yeah, that's how life goes here. So welcome to another origami crafting session. So I had to take a hiatus from origami because of school. I've been pretty busy. So it's actually nice to get back into it again. And one project I seem to become really good at is making these blintz boxes. Now, blintzes are, of course, these little square pastries. So the box is folded in that kind of style. And I'm going to go through all the steps. And this is not my instructions. I made them based on instructions from an accessible crafting blog. And I'm going to link to the post in the show notes so that you guys will have access to the show notes, or the instructions as well, you know, from the sources. Okay, so I'm using square origami paper, and I'm not sure if you'd want, I would think that you'd want to have the patterns or background. It really depends on the paper that you're using. It's kind of hard to tell. I just bought origami paper and I'm just using it to make random stuff. And one of the things I started making was these boxes. So I'm not sure what side the pattern's on. And to me, it's like, you know, I only live with a blind husband, so it's not really the easiest to tell. But anyway, so we're going to start. And step one, usually with these instructions, the way they're written, is you have your origami paper on a flat surface. And if it's a rectangular paper, they'll let you know how to orient it. But since it's a square paper, obviously all four sides are equal. There's usually two positions that a square piece of paper usually is in front of you. It's either a straight square, or they might have you put it in a diamond fashion. So, but for now, it's just going to be a straight square with your, you know, edges, you know, the way that they normally are. So, with that said, hoping you have some origami square paper. If you don't have origami square paper, it's pretty, you know, reasonably priced on Amazon. Last I know, I bought 6-inch square origami paper for like $8. And then the 10-inch was for $14. Now I got 200 sheets in the pack of 6-inch squares, and I got 100 in the pack of 10-inch. So I do have in my first podcast post, or my second, where I made the origami house in the picture frame, I have links to 10-inch and 6-inch paper that I bought on Amazon. So feel free to refer to those when you're looking for paper if you wish. So we're going to take the left edge of our paper, and there's a difference between a corner and an edge. If they say the corner, obviously they're going to say the left top corner, the left bottom corner. The edge is meaning the whole left side of the paper. So you're going to take it and we're going to fold it over to the right edge, essentially folding it in half. Now, if it's easier for you, you can take, like, turn it 90 degrees so that the left edge would be on the bottom and the right edge would be on the top. And then you can fold it, you know, however you feel. That's what I do with my tendonitis. So right now I'm working on folding my edges in half. And of course, what you want to do is you want to straighten the corners, make sure that the paper is on a flat surface. You could probably, if you're a very advanced origami person, you could probably get away with folding it in your lap, but you're going to need that additional support as a beginner. And if you have hand issues like I do, so you're basically with the fingers of your hand, you're going to hold down the corners because you're matching the left edge to the right edge. So you want your corners to be as straight as possible. And then with the heel of your hand, this is the way I've always done it. For me, it's easier this way. With the heel of your hand, the fingers are holding the corners on top. The heel of your hand is gently pressing down on the fold and creating that crease. Now, you want to crease it lightly at first because you want to make sure that it is as straight as you want it. If you make the crease too crispy at this point, it's going to be a little bit harder to go back and correct it. But I'm happy with my crease now. So this box that we're making is going to be perfect for a gift. So let's say you're giving gift cards. I always feel guilty about giving people gift cards for Christmas. You know, because I figure it's like people like to put thoughts into their gifts. And it's like, I want to give them something practical or whatever. But, you know, in reality, there are times I don't even know what I want. Because sometimes I prefer to give than to receive, you know, to the best of my ability. So I'm happy with this crease. So once you're happy with it, then you can make your crease nice and crispy. So that's when I go in with my fingers. Once I know my corners are straightened and once I know I like the way the corners are looking. So my fur baby is, my husband's outside and he's bringing Zappa into the bedroom so he can take care of him. Because Zappa was passed out on the couch while I was watching TV. And he didn't want to leave Zappa out there by himself. So I told him to just bring him in the room. But if he doesn't come, we'll probably have to fetch him and bring him into the podcast. But with 12 days of podcasting, there's going to be plenty of opportunity to see Zappa. Plenty. Okay, so I'm really happy with this crispy crease. So if you were an expert and kept your paper where the left edge was folded over to the right, that's great. If you have to at this point, you could turn it back. So if you still have your paper folded in half at this point, you should have technically a rectangular piece of paper in front of you where the long edges are going up and down and the shorter edges are top and bottom. So what you're going to do though is you're going to unfold it. Now that you've created this crease, you're going to unfold it and you should have what I've come to learn this year while learning origami is a valley fold. It's a valley crease. Now they call it a valley because it actually looks like the spine of a book. It looks like two pages in a book. But it kind of curves down into this valley. But if I were to flip the paper over, you don't have to do it at this point. But you can feel how the crease that you've made is now a mountain. Those are mountain folds. So when they say make a valley fold, because I've seen it in a lot of these projects, you want the paper to be kind of curving in. If they say a mountain fold, you want the paper to be pointing up, like folded, like the pointy part in the middle to be like pointing up like a mountain. So but right now, if you have your paper the way I do, I've made my crease, I've unfolded it, there's a nice valley fold going down the center of the paper. But now we're going to take our top edge and fold it down to our bottom edge. But for tendonitis people like me, I just take the bottom and fold it up to the top. Because for me, it's easier this way. So what we're essentially doing is we're going to be creating a kind of a four-way, it's kind of a four, like, valley fold in the center of the paper that, you know, is going to meet at some point. And obviously, then once we've finished doing that, we'll unfold this crease once we're done. And we're going to start folding our corners into the square. So we're going to have like four triangles, but we're not quite there yet. So make your crease, fold top edge to bottom edge or bottom to top, whichever's easier for you. Either way, it's going to create the same fold. In the instructions, it says top edge to bottom edge. And if you're not happy, readjust your corners. Like I'm not happy with this fold that I've just made. So just the whole point though is your corners cannot overlap. They can't be, they have to be very, very straight. So we're creating this crease. So now I'm pushing down on the crease to make it crispy. And what I mean by a crispy crease is like you could feel it. If you make too light of a crease, then the paper, it's still very, obviously very pliable. And, you know, it's going to kind of be a little stubborn. So I like to make crispy creases. Okay, so now you should pretty much have a rectangular paper, but it's facing long ways going left and right. And the short edges, you know, are going up and down. But at this point now, we're going to unfold. Okay, so you should now be able to kind of feel
where the corners meet. So what you're going to do is you're going to take all four corners and you're going to fold them as triangles where they meet in the center square. So you're going to use the lines that you've created on your page. You're going to use the lines that you've created to try to fold each corner into the center. You want them to meet in the center. You want them to meet at that very center point. Now, I can only fold one corner at a time, because obviously I'm not, you know, the quickest at it, and I'm still learning with my origami. But I can fold one corner at a time and try to get it as close to the center as possible. And then what I then do is, once I've gotten one corner that I like lined up the way that I do, I don't make my creases yet, but I put a finger there to kind of hold it in place. And then I fold in the corner next to it. So if you're working, you might want to work on the bottom corners first, the bottom left and the bottom right. And you might want to work on your two top corners. If it means that you'll need to change the, like turn the paper around 180 degrees so that your top is at the bottom so that the folds can be easily reachable, that's fine. Do what you have to do. So the point of it though is you're gonna have all four corners meeting in the center of your square, and you can't have them overlapping. Now this is something that takes a lot of practice. I still mess it up sometimes, because the point is you're going to have four triangles meeting in the center, and you want to get the creases and everything as straight as possible. So there's going to be some little gaps here and there. So it's going to take some getting used to. You may have, you know, there might be some gaps in your folds, or you may have folded over a left corner a little too much, or a right corner. I'm still having trouble with that. So if you are beginning like me, I still consider myself a beginner, even though I've made about four or five of these boxes. I'm still learning. So, but your goal is to have all four corners meet in the center. So at this point, that's what you'll be doing. So I focus on two at a time, but I fold them in each like separately. I've done my first corner. And I'm working on the corners that were on the top. I just basically flipped my paper around and started folding the two corners that were on the top. So I have what was my top left. I have that folded. And then now I'm going to work on the corner that would be my top right. Oh dear. So it does take a lot of work, a lot of dedication. Sometimes I feel like the right one has a mind of its own, and I ought to fold that one first. Yeah. So there shouldn't be any gaps in your triangles, but there are probably bound to be like some tiny gaps, because obviously, you know, they're four separate triangles, so you might find some small gaps, and that's fine, but your goal is to have four separate triangles all meeting in the center. And I know I repeat a lot, but this is kind of the way I do it in my own mind, really. I repeat the directions so that I make sure I get everything right. We want my corners meeting in the center. We want this. We want that. Blah, 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 blah. So, oh, come on. Okay, one of my corners is being stubborn. But your end objective here is to get these corners as straight as possible. It takes practice, believe me, when I say it is frustrating as all get out sometimes, because I'd have these lopsided boxes and it would break my heart and I'd be like, no! So the folding all four triangles in to meet at the center of the square sometimes isn't the best skill that I can proudly advertise. I do have some lopsided corners and things like that, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I really am. So, but once you have your square, essentially you're now going to have another square, but it's a smaller square with four triangles. So essentially that's what your goal is to end up with a square that's a little bit smaller than what you started with these four triangles. So now that you've worked so hard, I'm so mean, aren't I? You've worked so hard creating all these nice folds. You've got all your triangles lined up and as straight as possible. Now I'm going to ask you to unfold them again. Aw, man. Truly, there is a method to my madness. So unfold all of your triangles. Let them keep them creased. Or keep them, you know, you'll fill the nice creases. So the triangles, because they've now been folded, they're kind of pointing up. They're kind of naturally wanting to fold back in on the paper. But you're going to keep them open for now. And you're going to take each of the four triangles you have here, and you're going to fold the pointy part of the triangle in to the first edge, the first crease, meaning, you know, the crease that you made when you folded the triangle into the center. You're basically going to fold the pointy part, you know, and stop on the paper where that crease is created. So the best way I can describe it, because I know sometimes reading these text instructions can seem a bit frustrating if you can't feel it hands-on. The best way for me to describe it is the pointy part of the triangle is going to rest on the kind of that little line that you've created. It's a valley line that you created with that fold that you made to create the triangle. So you're basically folding the triangle in on itself, and you're going to do that to all four triangles. The pointy edge of the triangle is going to rest against the edge of the little crease that you just created when you made the triangle. And try to keep it as aligned as possible. Try to keep it, you fold the pointy part to the center of this edge that you created, this crease that you created, and you're basically going to make creases. So these triangles are going to be folded in on themselves. Okay, so there's one triangle. One of the things about me is I feel better explaining stuff when I'm doing it. And that's one thing I've always been told. I have very good explanations because all my life I've volunteered with autistic blind children, and detailed description. I mean, you've got to include more of that. My hope is that one day we can get a group of blind artists who are very passionate and who can create more of these accessible crafting blogs, because origami shouldn't be limited to your site, because it's not like painting, you know, where you can't see the color. You can appreciate origami, you know, by the feel of the folds and the shapes that you're creating. So you can do just as well with your hands, even though you don't see. I have no idea what color paper I'm working with, but this is still heck fun. I don't know if the pattern's on the inside or on the opposite side, but I'm still enjoying myself. So I'm just hoping that more people will be able to, you know, enjoy this fun art. There are still some instructions I'm not sure of, even on this blog that I'm using. There are still where I'll start an origami project and I've thrown away quite a few pieces of origami and printer paper, because you can do origami work with rectangular paper. Okay, so now you should have your triangles folded in on themselves, so they look like, they kind of look like sides of a box, but they're not quite there yet. So what you're going to do is you're going to take these folded in triangles and you're going to fold them back in again, as you did when you created the creases to make the four triangles meet in the center of the square. So this should be easy because that crease is still there. You've got the pointy edge resting up against the inside of the crease. So you're just going to fold these triangles in to the square, and it should resemble a square picture frame. Once all of these four corners, now, thou shalt fold. Gotta know when to fold them. Okay, stubborn paper here, sorry. Okay, so now we've got this really cool kind of a picture frame set up here. Okay, a square picture frame, okay? So it that's what it's gonna kind of feel like, because you have these four sides folded in, created by, you know, your creases and your folds that you've been making and little triangles, which folded back in on themselves. So it looks like you could slide a photo in the center of this square. But what you're going to do at this point is, very carefully, you're going to turn the paper over like you're flipping the page of a book. Okay? So now you're going to have a nice smooth square. You're going to fill your little creases in the center, which is, you know, completely normal, but you have this nice smooth square. So now you're going to take your left edge of your paper and you're going to fold the paper in half, you know, to meet the right edge. So make sure your corners are all lined up. Now this is going to be tricky. When we first did the left edge to right edge, if you feel like you need to bring it to where you're folding it basically bottom to top or whatever way you need to position the paper, just remember this is the left to right edge. Usually when you make these creases, like the left to right edge and then the top to bottom or bottom to top, that's usually how those go. So they call that kind of like a Blintz's style, where you make the creases and then you fold the four corners in to make a center, a square with the four triangles meeting in the center. So, but now you're dealing with multiple layers of paper. So you have to be very careful. And of course, if you're not 100% straight, like I am, unfortunately. You have to try to work with it. Oh, come on. Okay. Well, and this is probably my sixth box I've made. I've made probably about four or five boxes already. I know I have two in the living room and I have two here in the bedroom. But you've got multiple layers of paper here, so try to line up your corners as best as you can. It's not going to be perfect. I'm acknowledging right now, here I am, the one making this project and telling you how to do it. Mine isn't even perfect because it's bothering me that it's not lining up the way I want it to line up. I want it to line up perfectly with the corners, you know, but of course some of the folds that I created earlier weren't as straight as I wanted them to be. No. Okay, well, it is what it is. So we've got our left edge folded to make the right edge, and we creased it as best we can, and we've unfolded it. So now you've got the similar situation as you did when you first started. you've got the valley fold in the center. It looks like a spine of a book. Now you're going to take your top edge and fold it down to meet the bottom edge. I usually do bottom to top because of my tendonitis, but you do what you do to make you comfortable. The whole point is to, you know, this is something you have to be comfortable doing because it's going to take a lot of practice. So you're going to have to get used to doing it again and again and again. And now that I'm out of school, I can enhance my origami skills, but I'm still quite at the very, very beginner level. So, but you're working with lots of layers of paper here. So paper, you know, some folds are going to want to go their own way, or something is going to want to go, you know, it's not going to want to go exactly how you want it. So you have to be, that's another thing origami teaches, is patience. A lot of patience. Because you don't want to be like, oh, come on, fold, you know. You want to work the paper nicely. Think of paper as clay, in a sense. You want to fold it nicely, but you don't want to, like, scrunch it up. And that's where sometimes it doesn't quite, you know. But I get it. People are just like, dang it, you know. I want to get this working. Okay. So now you're going to unfold after you've made the crease. So again, you've got a center crease, a center vertical crease, and a center horizontal crease. So now what you're going to do is you're going to take your left and your right edges, and you're going to fold them to meet in the middle. So what that means is the center vertical crease is going to be your guide here, because you're going to take the left edge and you're going to fold it so that that outer edge rests up against this the inside edge of this crease here, the center vertical crease. So that is what you're doing. You've got the left edge and the right edge are going to fold into the middle, and they're going to meet there. So if you can only fold one edge at a time, that's fine. Again, this origami teaches you extreme patience. Okay, but I've got my left and right edges folded to meet in the middle. Okay, well it's almost there. It's not 100% perfect, but okay. So now we've got an interesting situation here. If you have what I have, we've got a very, very tiny, in a sense, rectangular piece of paper. You've got the two edges, the outer edges, meeting in the center. And because of all the work that you did on the other side of the paper, where you made the square picture frame and all that, now you've got multiple layers of paper, and the top layer of paper, or the top part of the paper, is a flap. Now, if you messed up on the folds a little bit, don't worry. But essentially, you should have two loose flaps that are on the outsides of this rectangular folded paper. And those two loose flaps, we're going to use, they're going to be part of the box. They're going to kind of be the outside of the box. But what we're going to do with these flaps, we're not quite done with this box yet. So we're going to start on the right loose flap. It's the top flap of it. It's not the top layer, because this flap consists of two layers, but it's the top part of this, of the right part of the paper. Okay. It's a loose flap. You're going to take that flap and you're going to fold it over to the left. Now you should have two exposed kind of triangles created here at the center of the, or at the top right and the bottom right corners. You've got these two exposed triangles. Remember the triangles that we created when the paper was on its other side? Well, now you've got these two triangles here. So what you're going to do is you're going to fold them in to meet the edge. The pointy edge is going to meet the edge of this crease. This crease that was created when you basically folded that loose flap over to the left, and you've exposed these triangles. So you're going to fold these triangles in on themselves, and let the pointy edge rest against that first crease there. That first crease was created by the flap being folded over. So I've done my top triangle. I'm going to do the bottom triangle. There we go. No, I think that's a little too big. All right, so we folded these triangles even more in on themselves. Now what we're going to do is take that flap that we folded over, the one that we folded over from the right to left, and we're going to fold it back over against itself. So now it's pushing up against these newly folded and refolded, I guess you could say, triangles. So you have to try to get the flap to fold over as best you can. It's not my most proudest work, but hey, it is what it is. All right, so now we're going to take the left flap, the left loose flap on the left side of the paper, fold it over to the right. Okay, come on. There we go. So I have to be very careful working out. Sometimes, because you don't want to tear the paper. Now, it does happen for origami beginners. I've torn a couple of pieces of paper myself. And basically what you're going to do, essentially, is you're going to take the triangles that you created, you know, those two exposed triangles, and fold them in so where they... You're basically doing what you did on the right side. You're doing it to the left side now, where the pointy edge is going to rest up against the edge of that crease that you created when you folded the flap over. Okay, so I've done my bottom left. Now I'm doing the top left. Hey, you. Come on, fold. Okay, there it goes. It's resting against that. Do, 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 do. All right, now you're going to fold this left flap back over where it was. And now essentially you have a split in the center of the paper where those two loose flaps are, that you fold it over to make those to expose those triangles. So what you're going to do is you're going to lift up the two little edges that make this vertical slit in the center, and you're going to slowly lift them up to where they're facing the ceiling, and you're seeing two sides of the box come into shape. But you're also going to work on your top and your bottom sides of the box, because the vertical slit created the left and right side. So as you start to bring up the sides of the box, you also need to concentrate on the new bottom and top sides. Those don't come up. And if they do, they kind of naturally want to unfold, and your job is to not let them unfold. So as you're separating the vertical slit and lifting up those sides, you also want to lift up very gently, very gingerly, the top and the bottom side. You know, work the corners one at a time, and that's totally understandable because, you know, the paper, it's pretty much in its box state right now. But you still need to kind of square it out and give it more support. So you should by now have the basics of this box. Okay? But now we need to make the corners more square. So we're going to take the corners and we're going to basically pinch them. And we're basically going to create our four corners. But they have to be square corners, because if you feel the corners feel kind of rounded still. And this is a part where, you know, when I first made this box, I was like, oh my God, my box is broken, you know, and I was a little worried about it. I thought I had screwed it up. But your main point is to put up these sides, give them some support. And the best way to do that is to pinch these corners and to make them nice square corners. You're not going to be perfect at it. I know I'm not. There's still, you know, parts where I'm a little lopsided and not 100%, there. And you could always, if you're not feeling like, if the box doesn't feel as even to you as you want it to be, you could always kind of get tape and fold some of the sides in a little bit and then maybe tape them. That's what I do sometimes if it's not 100% even. But there are slots, if you see, there are slots on the top and bottom of the box, the sides part. There are slots. And this is a perfect box to put a gift, like a small gift card or like my folds are kind of weird and I'm not exactly happy with the, you know, because it feels a little uneven to me. But I think it's supposed to be a decorative style. But what you want to do is, and make sure that the bottom part of your box too, to give it some firmness, to give it some support, make sure that those are also folded and the bottom, the sides, the bottom of your box, like the sides of your box, I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain this to you. You want those also to be not rounded. So you want to kind of pinch those sides too, because you don't want to have a rounded box that could unfold at any moment now. So you want to have some nice square corners, square edges as best you can, but you've got kind of slots on the side so you can stick a gift card in the center here and then surround it by candy, like little pieces of candy and a note. So this is a little box and you can definitely put gifts in it. It's not going to be a huge box because I used a 10-inch square. I would say this is probably, I want to say it's about a 4 to 5 inch square now. It's not that big. These boxes are not huge. And of course, because they're made out of paper, you want to watch what you put in here because it's not cardboard. So it's not going to support the weight of heavy, heavy things. But this is a perfect little box that you could put something in. And you can create a lid with a separate sheet of paper. And you basically follow almost identical the instructions that you did to make this box. The only thing that you're going to do differently when you make a lid for this box is remember when we folded the left and right edges in to the middle? You don't quite want to do that. You're going to fold them in, but you're not going to fold them quite into the middle. You're going to leave a slight gap between that vertical crease line and your, you know, edges that you folded in. So what it's going to do is it's going to make the box pretty much identical to this box, but it's going to be slightly larger so you can fit it over this box and create a lid. So I have another box that I was working on. Honestly, this one is, I don't know, I want to say a tad bit smaller. So I'm taking this box and I'm going to try to work this as a lid. So the box that I just made, I'm going to try to make it a lid for this other box because this one turned out a bit smaller. So either way, you can make these little boxes. And if you want to, if you want to secure it, obviously use tape or glue if you need to, so that the gift won't open. But you definitely can make a lid for this. You just want to be mindful of, you know, when you fold the left and right edges in to meet the center on that last, when you've turned the paper over and you have that smooth square, you fold your left and right edge, you fold the left edge to meet the right, you create that center vertical crease, and then you fold the top to meet the bottom and you create that center horizontal crease. So then you would, you know, if you wanted to make the box, you would, of course, just take your left and right edges and fold them to meet in the middle. Don't do that if you're making a lid. Create a little gap, because then that's going to make, obviously, these are both boxes, so they're not going to make, neither one of them is going to make very good lids. I thought I could kind of bend one of the boxes. But yeah, these are origami boxes, and you can, like I said, make nice, cute little lids for them and secure them with tape if necessary. Maybe put some tissue paper in or something to kind of make it look like, you know, make it look festive, pretty. And you can give gift cards in the gifts because, like, you know, if you're like me, I feel guilty sometimes getting people gift cards, but I kind of like receiving them because then I'm not pressured to come up with a gift idea. Because when people come to me and they say, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I don't usually think about receiving gifts. You know, I don't. I don't actively think about it. So I'm like, oh, I don't know, just give me a gift card because I can't think of it. And sometimes people feel bad and they're like, but I want to get you something that I know you'll like. And I'm like, I can't think of anything. I can't. So, you know, but the origami box, I feel, gives you a little bit of thought into it. So let's say you bought a gift card for a fiance or, you know, a friend or a parent or whatever. And you want to make it look festive, maybe get some, you know, a few chocolates. A few chocolates, if they're small enough, can fit into those boxes. And you can put a gift card in there. And the thought of creating these little boxes, that's going to show that you wanted to make this gift something special. If you don't want to tape it, you could perhaps tie the box, you know, with the lid, with the appropriate size lid, you know, with ribbon. And then they could just untwine the ribbon to undo the lid in the box. So you can do all kinds of stuff with that, you know, get nice patterned origami paper and make some pretty boxes to distribute your little gifts. And that's the real fun about it. So that was the reason why I wanted to do that project for today. That does it. So I hope to see you back very soon. Tomorrow is day 2 of our 12 days of podcasting. I hope you enjoyed this project. I'll be linking to it on the show notes. And if you have any suggestions or ideas, I'd love to hear them. Bye for now. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Join me again tomorrow for day 2 of the 12 days of podcasting. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me, send me a tweet to morning_song on Twitter or send an email to morningsong24@gmail.com. Be sure to come back tomorrow for our mystery episode. Yeah, you never know. It's all going to be fun. Think of it as a gift, because it's a gift for me to record these podcasts. So I'll see you guys tomorrow. Check on the website celestialvoice.net for the blog and podcast, and stay up to date with Mel's Podtastic Life. See you tomorrow. Bye.